This is our fundraiser for our 7th birthday, celebrating 7 glorious years on FM. And thank you very much to everyone who has supported the programme so far and everyone who's made a donation and all of our sponsors. And the sponsor of the next programme, we have Susie Maxwell-Stewart and Mika Scott limbering up in the studio. We've got a studio full of guests. It's going to be an exciting show. Now, supporting this show is VegFest. That's an annual event in the Brighton and Hove calendar celebrating all things vegetarian and vegan. It's taking place on March the 29th and the 30th at the Hove Centre, and they are kindly supporting the next show here on the Reverbathon. I spoke to the organiser via Skype to find out more about VegFest.
My name's Tim Barford and I am the organiser of VegFest UK Brighton.
Hugely popular event this, isn't it?
It has grown year on year. We're now in our 6th year and we get, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 people over the weekend. It's really, really good, really good thriving show. The venue, we've almost outgrown it now. All the stalls are gone. It just shows how popular this whole vegetarian, vegan lifestyle is becoming.
Absolutely, and Brighton seems like a natural home to do it in. Well, it's Hove, actually, isn't it? But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, the area has traditionally seen quite a large amount of vegetarian and vegan people in proportion to other places in the country. Still, obviously, in a big minority, but I think it's fair to say everybody's noticed a change in the amount of people, especially quite famous people or well-known people and highly achieving people who have adopted a plant-based lifestyle. And a number of very high-profile athletes, it seems, have adopted plant-based, and that's a large part of their success.
There's never been an easier time to be a vegetarian or a vegan, has there?
It's certainly easier than it was when I went vegan 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
1984, when I went vegan, and we're now in 2014. Massive difference. What's really, really grown in the last 30 years is your availability of things like plant-based milks, for instance. I mean, back in 1984, you'd be hard-pushed to get more than one or two soy milks.
VegFest taking place at the Hove Centre 29th and 30th of March. Give us a flavour of some of the things that are going to be taking place over that weekend.
Well, definitely a lot of fun. These very lively events. We're starting off with the brass band, like a 15-piece brass band is going to open up the show. There's big emphasis actually this year on healthy role models. So there's some really, really interesting people. The world's first vegan professional footballer, Neil Robinson, who used to play for Everton in his 70s and 80s, is coming to the show. He's now in his 50s, very fit guy, very knowledgeable about nutrition. Very interesting guy too called John Robb, who's a punk musician, also written books too. He's been vegan for, I don't know, 30-odd years too. Very interesting guy. He's coming to share some of his experiences sort of on the road with these bands and stuff. I'm sure he's got a funny tale or two to tell.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. Animal welfare is very much a cornerstone of this year's event.
Yeah, Animal Welfare Party are actually standing in the European elections coming up in a couple of months in London. They have a candidate standing. It's a very focused campaign. It is all about animal welfare. It's a sort of single issue party and they're very small. But we're supporting them really to help try and put this issue on the map and in people's minds. We're very much aware that, for instance, both the Labour Party and the Green Party, especially the Green Party, have very well-developed animal welfare policies. However, we think the support for the Animal Welfare Party pushes this higher up the political agenda and in many respects helps increase this whole issue about how we should treat our animals, not only socially but also politically.
So can you remind us again where it's happening and all the details of actually getting into VegFest this year?
VegFest UK Brighton 2014 is this year on March the 29th and 30th. That's Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. both days. So we'll be opening nice and on the button at 11 on Saturday the 29th of March with our brass band to introduce everything. Come on down, fantastic show, bring the kids free too, family day on Sunday. Full details you can find on the website, just go to brighton.vegfest.co.uk and you can also download the event programme from the website and that will give you all the times of all the talks, all the cookery demos, entertainment, the films that we've got on, the workshops, and importantly, all the stalls, shopping, special offers, and of course, the food. So there you go.
Thank you, Tim Barford from VegFest. And thank you also, a very special thank you, for letting us actually do the very special programme we're going to be doing. I'm going to pass you over to Mika Scott, who's going to explain this wonderful show. I absolutely, certainly it's going to be wonderful.
Thanks very much, Susie. Yeah, we're all gathered here together because we feel very, very passionately about the Hippodrome Theatre here in Brighton. It faces being changed into something which would be, to us at least, appalling. And so we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be talking about the plans for it. But first, I want to bring up somebody who never played there, but she is of the era. And this is Judy Garland. Zing went the strings of my heart. Lovely. David, sitting in the hot seat with me, David Fisher. David, can you tell us something initially about this organisation, Our Brighton Hippodrome, how it came about and what it's trying to do?
Well, it came about originally because there was a meeting that was held one very rainy Sunday afternoon in late October that was organised by Gavin Henderson, who was the former director of the Brighton Festival, as I'm sure everyone knows. And the nothing seemed to happen very much after that, and then a friend of ours, a mutual friend, Jevon Anthony Jay, decided to get the bit between his teeth, and so he started gathering people together to say we ought to do something about this, and so this Our Brighton Hippodrome emerged out of that.
Right.
And the idea being that we want to bring together, we not only want to object to the planning application for it to be a cinema, but we want to try to put together a package that we can present to both the council and to the developers that would allow the Hippodrome to be restored as a theatre rather than converted into a cinema.
And it's, I have to ask you this question because you have in this particular organisation, shall I say, you have a particular what they call a USP. Because unique selling point. Don't look at me like that. Unique selling point. Because all your life you have been a film cinema man. Suddenly you seem to have switched sides to support the idea of a theatre. So why is that?
Well, partly because it is a theatre. I mean, it's a grade two-star listed building designed by one of the greatest theatre designers of that period, of the late Victorian and Edwardian period. So it has to be preserved, really, for what it is. The idea of having a cinema doesn't appeal at all, because there's another cinema in the next street, also with eight screens. The proposal for the Hippodrome is that will have eight screens. And this is over-concentration of cinemas in that area. But there is a plan, and indeed the developers have an arrangement with a particular cinema exhibitor. And that exhibitor also has an interest in another site in Hove, close to Hove Station.
Oh, right.
For a nine-screen cinema. So I don't know whether they're hedging their bets or whether they want to have both those sites. But certainly I think the problem with turning the Hippodrome into a cinema is that it means destroying pretty well the entire theatre interior. It means tearing out the stage, the fly tower, which is the bit above the stage, and
We'll look at that a bit later. But just tell me, going back to Our Brighton Hippodrome, the organisation, has it grown? What is it, if you like, constituent parts?
Well, it's certainly grown. I mean, there are now 30, probably about 40 people involved in the core activity. And they are the ones who have been out today leafleting and collecting signatures, and we've got a lot of signatures during the day. And we'll be out again next weekend and the following weekend, so anybody who's around the centre of town will be able to meet some of the members of the team and talk to them about what the implications are.
Okay, that's lovely.
David, thank you. Can I ask you what the signatures are for?
Well, the idea is to present a petition to the council to say, don't be misled into thinking that it could only be a cinema. There is an alternative. It's not been explored. It went until last year, as far as we knew, the leaseholders, which is a company called Academy Music Group, of which the main shareholder is Live Nation, which puts on concerts all over the world. But they wanted to convert it into a music venue. And then it suddenly went from being a music venue to being a cinema without ever passing through the stage of saying, let's consider it as a theatre. And so what we're trying to do is to get it considered as a theatre. We need a bit of time. We need the planning application is already in the council planning committee. We'll be discussing it in April and May. But we want a bit more time just so that we can get together this sort of portfolio of interest.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, David. I know that you have to shoot off now, but thank you for your contribution. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play a track, and this is a track of a group that actually played there at the Hippodrome. And I could not play this track. I'm a big fan, and it's the Rolling Stones and Little Red Rooster. Right, joining me now is Michael Rees. Michael, welcome to the show and thank you for contributing. Can you just tell us a little bit more about the Hippodrome, you know, how it started, what it was designed for and all that kind of thing?
Right, this is a very important international Grade 2 listed building built by Frank Matcham, who was, as David said, one of the leading architects of theatres. There were three of his in Brighton at one time.
Were there?
There were indeed. Two have gone.
Oh, well, yeah,
we're trying to save the last one. This particular one is rather exclusive. It was built originally as an ice rink in 1897, but Frank Matcham was called in to convert it into a circus, of all things.
Oh, my gosh.
So it originally opened in his design as a circus, which is why it's circular and has that splendid domed ceiling. The circus was not entirely successful, and in 1901 they asked Frank to come back and convert it into a variety theatre. And that's when the proscenium arch was put in and a stage behind, and later on a fly tower was added to it. And for a while, certainly between the wars, it was a major number one touring venue for the biggest shows on the road.
So I believe. Can I just take you back, because there's one interesting thing which I've heard, and I don't know whether you can confirm this, but I do believe that when it was a circus, in the back they built a special ramp for the elephants to get up. Is that?
That is indeed true. I haven't personally been in the Hippodrome, but I worked there for a while in a very similar building in Columbia, South Carolina, was a Ringling Brothers circus. And although it hadn't been used for a circus for about 30 years, you could tell the elephants had been there.
I'm sure you could.
Can I ask you about the link between... didn't it have a link between the London Palladium as well?
Well, the shows that played at the London Palladium would have played in Brighton and around the country. And this is one of the real missing elements in the theatre in this country, is that between Canterbury and Southampton, there is now no theatre that these big shows can go into. And so, I mean, regardless of saving the Hippodrome, this area, and Brighton sits in the centre of it, needs a number one touring date that can take these big shows.
Okay, that's lovely. Okay, well, give me some idea of what kind of show you would like to see coming in.
Well, I know they squeeze some of the slightly smaller ballet companies into, like Rombert, into the Royal, but they're terribly cramped, the dancers don't like it, they're a nightmare for the technicians, and anything bigger than that can't, so the Royal on tour, again, touring opera like Welsh National, and the big musical shows that are out on the road, like Wicked, you can probably name more than I can. They're out there on the road. It would also help them in another date on the circuit means the tour is longer, means the show is more financially viable. So it's win-win all round.
Absolutely.
It says on the leaflet, it says, what can you think of, what the Hippodrome could be used for? I'd like to say thank you to Kay for donating to Reverbifum. And also, I want to say a very, very special thank you to VegFest. And I'd like to say that, and this is Susie Oddball, and I'm actually volunteering for VegFest. And it's the only festival that I've been to that has asked me to wear very sensitive clothing. So it would be vegetarian clothing I'll be wearing, which I'm really impressed. Because you really do care about your patrons, people that come in. So thank you very much, VegFest, for allowing us to air our views as well. So back to the Hippodrome, Mika.
Thank you, and thank you, Susie. And I do join in your thanks to the sponsors and indeed to Radio Reverb for giving us this studio at this time. Thank you very much indeed. Coming back to you, Michael, I just want to talk about the technical side of things, because I've seen that this theatre is unique in city centre theatres in the fact that it has a huge great yard at the back, which you can actually still get theatre trucks into. Now, is that going to go as well in this?
According to the plans that are on the BHCC website, yes, they're going to recarve, they're going to keep a small car park there, but they're going to rearrange it in such a way that it would not be possible to get a 40-foot articulated lorry in. Now, up and down the country every weekend, shows pull out of one theatre on a Saturday night, they move into another on a Sunday morning, and a theatre as big as this would probably be at least 2 40-foot trailers, maybe even more, and from everybody's point of view, you can't carry vast amounts of scenery down 300 yards of street. That truck has got to be able to get back into the backstage area.
Especially in the kind of weather we've just been enjoying.
It's a strange thing that in 40-odd years, maybe more, working in the theatre, the number of times it rains at 10:30 on a Saturday night is remarkably few.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Just coming into the theatre itself, now I know, obviously, that some of the plans include the total destruction of the stage area and the housing of the stage and so forth and so on, just leaving the Pross Arch as a decoration. And I have been told, well, I've heard two things. I've been told, first of all, that the stage, as it is at the moment, will actually accommodate the kind of shows that you were talking about earlier. But I've also heard that it might need some restoration and slight lengthening at one corner or something. Can you confirm or?
Well, as a theatre technician and production manager, half the fun of the game is squeezing a show that's far too big into a theatre that's far too small. We've all done this. Yes, if we were to build from scratch, we would want a much larger stage and a much larger auditorium. But comparing it with the other theatres that are around on the tour, as long as you ignore Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham, which serve a very different demographic, it compares very favourably. In fact, it's larger than most of the ones that we picked up on the list. Only a little bit larger, but it is larger. What is really important is to have the space at the side of the stage, because musicals particularly, you've got lots and lots of scenes. You've got to put the scenery that you're not using somewhere, as well as the scene. You can alter the scenery you're using in a scene, but you've still got all the rest and it's got to go somewhere. Yes, there is a little bit off the corner of one side, which would make it a little more difficult than it would if it were completely square. We did talk about the fly tower, because when I saw these plans first, one of the things that caught my eye was the proposal for refurbishment was to remove the fly tower. Now, that fly tower was built to cope with scenery at the turn of the last century. Scenery has got more bulky, heavier. It is very likely...
It's most probably a single hemp, I would...
I don't think it's got any counterweights, which probably means the strength of the grid is not enough. It was when I started to look at the plans and realised it wasn't just the fly tower, it was everything below it that had to go. I thought, no, this is not feasible.
So are you saying that if they take these things away, that they're irreplaceable if they change things?
If they take away the stage area, the dressing rooms, the property rooms, everything else that's below the fly tower, and knock it down, and put a different building up on that footprint, yes, it's gone, and you would never be able to reverse it.
I'd like to just move you on one final question. Do you think, I mean, I used to live in London years ago, and when I lived in London, one of the high points of the theatre season in London was the World Theatre season, which Peter Daubner used to run. Do you think this theatre could do a World Theatre season?
I think it certainly could, and I think we need a theatre in this in this area, not just Brighton, but the whole of Sussex, Surrey, that is capable of taking that sort of show. We can't get a really big headliner in for the festival.
No.
And there is a series of theatres now across the continent called 360s. The Roundhouse in London is one of them. It's the only one in this country. Now, because it was originally built as a circus, it could be possible. I won't say
right.
It is possible.
No.
Architects
that's
need to look at the fact that it could be another of the 360 venues. Now that is really exciting art, and it's not open to this country at all.
Well, it's exciting for me because the Roundhouse at the moment are doing a big circus festival, and I come from a circus background, and I am so over the moon that they're doing the whole 3 weeks of circus festival at the Roundhouse. Another success story for theatre.
It is being looked at. I would say, you know, a lot's going on in the background. We haven't had long since we set out on this campaign, but a lot of things are being looked at, and having a flexible space that could be part of the 360 circuit. 360 is a bad word round here at the moment, isn't it? But we won't get into
that. We won't get into that. But thank you for that. And on the note of bringing in tours and so forth from abroad, we have some music from abroad, and this is Chinese. This is Honglu Dreams, and I hope I pronounce his name right. It's Wang Shun Yang.
Hello, I'd like to thank Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and just to let you know what's happening on Radio Reverb, Anna and I, we're having a Reverbathon, and so if you want to go onto the website at Radio Reverb and donate, go to www.radioreverb.com, and you can also go to radioreverb.co.uk to listen live. Right, back to you, Mika, about the Hippodrome.
Thank you very, very much indeed. Now, sitting opposite me in the hot seat is a good friend of mine, Johnny Worthy. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Before we go any further, I have to say that you are, in a sense, a representative of the Actors' Union Equity in this.
Am I? Oh, all right, then.
Yes, well, I think you should be, given your position within the union. How does the union feel about this theatre?
Oh, the union is very much behind our attempt to keep it a live theatre, very much. I mean, in fact, I heard today that the union will help us out financially.
Really?
With a little bit of money.
Oh,
a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, well, anything is
we
welcome.
All need.
Anything
Thank
is
equity.
Welcome.
Thank you, Equity. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Now, I've been out leafleting. I know you've been out leafleting. One of the questions I got asked is, where is it? I mean, we have people. We have people in this town, sorry, city, who don't know where the Hippodrome is.
I'm not surprised, actually. It's in the lanes. It's in Middle Street.
Right.
Which, I mean, for people who aren't sure, if they think where is the Quaker...
Yes,
Meeting hall.
Friends meeting house.
It's just behind there. So it's right in the centre.
Well, for the Chocoholics, it's right near Chocowockydoodah.
This is true.
But it doesn't look much from the outside, but inside it's absolutely fantastic.
It doesn't look much from the outside, but inside it's the most beautiful theatre. I know people have been, you've already heard that it's a Matcham Theatre. And if you don't know a Matcham Theatre, if you think of the London Coliseum, which is one of the most beautiful interiors
in
the country. That was designed by Frank Matcham.
And also the Palladium in London.
And the Palladium, But for me, the London Coliseum is the jewel.
I've actually been there a few times myself, so
In fact, all my family have been there.
Really?
My granddad and my father, they've all played on when it was a variety theatre.
That's interesting.
And
that's,
I have a feeling that they might have played the Hippodrome as well.
I bet they did.
When it was a variety.
What did your granddad do?
Well, when he was at the Coliseum, he was in Kiss Me Kate. But before then, he was in Billy Cotton's band.
Yes.
And I think Billy Cotton's band played.
Oh, right. Okay.
Back then.
Talking about that era, can you give us an idea roughly of some of the people who sort of played there and the kind of acts that they would have done?
Well, every sort of acts played there. When it was a variety theatre, we've had Gracie Fields played there, Crazy Gang played there, Tony Hancock played there. I mean, I saw Shirley Bassey there.
Did you?
I even saw the Black and White Minstrels there. Can you believe that? Can you believe man sitting here saying he saw the Black and White? But I did.
That's another discussion, isn't it?
You must have been very young then, John.
A child. But it was packed. I mean, the theatre was packed. Yes. It was standing room only.
Yes. Yeah,
but you had people like Max Miller play there. Max Miller has a big following in Brighton. Yeah.
I mean, Harry Houdini, the famous
escapologist.
Escapologist. Laurel and Hardy.
Buster Keaton, one of my favourites.
Yep. Yeah. Charlie Chaplin. Yeah. I mean, the history of the Hippodrome is, we mustn't get rid of that. We're losing a lot in Brighton of what makes Brighton great.
Absolutely.
Is it true that Laurence Olivier played there as well?
From what I hear, I wasn't there at the time, but I heard he played there.
There was a story, wasn't
there?
Well, I do know somebody who played there, literally played there, and it was George Formby, so I think we ought to hear a little bit of George Formby, and this is Auntie Maggie's Remedy.
So I said to Nelly, now you rub your ankle with Auntie Maggie's Remedy.
You're listening to Radio Reverb and it's 97.2 FM. And if you want to actually donate to the Reverbiton that we're actually, it's a fundraiser. So if you want to donate, go to radioreverb.co.uk and please press the donate button. It can be £1 or more. It'd be fantastic if you can. Now, you're listening to Susie Oddball, Mika Scott, and we've got Johnny Worthy with us, who's an absolutely fantastic, interesting character who has interest in family as well. But we're talking about the Hippodrome because it's a really important theatre to us and we want to save it. So Mika, can you give a maybe before we do that, Mika, I'm just going to give a little bit of an idea. So get your pens ready.
Please do.
And if you want to join in with our campaign, if you send an email to support@ourhippodrome.org.uk or you can visit our website, ourhippodrome.org.uk, or you can get us on Twitter, @ourhippodrome, follow us on Facebook, our Brighton Hippodrome page, and please give as much support as you can, because we need as much support from our locals, from people, if you're listening abroad, we still need support, so please do visit us. But remember, you know, theatres are very, very important. And we need live performances.
That's my opinion. Thank you very much. It's absolutely right, too. Yeah, we do need that support. And how's the support going, Johnny?
Well, I've been out all day today since 9:30 this morning. And what I found incredible, that the support was there. that people said yes. Soon as we said the Hippodrome, they were there supporting. We've got hundreds of signatures already.
That
is incredible.
Absolutely marvellous.
It's wonderful.
That is absolutely
yeah.
marvellous. Now, I've got to take you back to the people who played there, and we've just played George Formby. Did you ever see him perform?
No.
Oh.
I'm very sorry. I'd love to
so
say.
So am I, because yes. that's the only, I have to think of another question very quickly.
I'd
now.
Love to say. Actually, I did meet him.
Oh, what was he like?
He was very nice. I was doing a summer season, can you believe, in 1960 in Lytham St. Anne's.
Right.
And he lived there. And he, oh, yeah. we had a party or something. Mm. And he came with his wife, Beryl, who controlled him. She was so the money, good. Yes. So but he was very nice, a bit shy. Well, I say shy. He was quiet. Yeah. Let's put it like that.
And Johnny, your father was a tap dancer, wasn't he?
Yeah, my dad was. They were all tap dancers. My dad, my grandfather, my great grandfather. My great grandfather came over from the States in 1907. Wow. But that's enough. We're talking about the Hippodrome, yeah. not yeah. the Worthy family.
Well, someone yeah. must have tap danced at the Hippodrome.
I'm sure they did. I'm yeah, sure they yeah. did.
But you're also a musical man, Johnny, and you've appeared in many, many musicals from Hair downwards or upwards.
I think you're bored. You mean Hair down?
I think you know what I mean. I think
I do. That's why I corrected you.
No, hair. In your opinion, would this theatre make a good home for musicals?
Oh, ideal.
And
ideal.
Why would that be?
Because it's the right size in all departments. I mean...
And acoustics as well.
Oh, yes. I mean, but the... We got the Theatre Royal, which is a little bit too small for the big scale musicals. Mm. I mean, some people will say, "Well, we had Scrooge at the Brighton Centre," but I had some friends in that, and they hated playing there. It was far too small. They couldn't get all the scenery on. It was just dreadful.
Well, it was never built as a theatre anyway.
No, it wasn't. It's a conference hall.
Exactly.
Can I just say, I don't want, just to correct that. I don't want to upset the people in Eastbourne and my friends that run the theatres in Eastbourne, that the Congress Theatre does take big musicals.
Yeah,
it
but
does take.
But the point is, surely, what you're pushing for is that people should not necessarily have to go to Eastbourne to see a big musical.
No. I mean, Brighton, I mean, for heaven's sake, should be able to have large-scale musicals.
Yeah.
And ballet and opera
and
whole bit.
And also, it would come into use for the Brighton Fringe and the Brighton Festival.
Oh, I do. Of course it would.
Yeah, and, you know, that... Definitely. I mean, Brighton Festival is apparently the third largest festival in the world. If we added or were able to add the Hippodrome into that mix, it could make it a bigger festival. We might become the premier festival in the world. You never know.
Well, we've lost two
theatres. I think Edinburgh might be on to you.
Maybe so.
We've lost two theatres in Brighton and Hove not that long ago, so yes. It'd be really good to keep this theatre.
Oh, yes. I mean, it would be tragic. I'm not getting too dramatic, but it would be tragic, I think,
absolutely.
To lose the Hippodrome.
Yeah, absolutely. Susie, talking about the Hippodrome and the musical theatre that's gone on there, you have a disc you brought in. You have a disc you brought in.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what it is, please, love?
Okay, well, it's been sung by Roy Hudd, who is one of our patrons of the Max Miller Appreciation Society. And he's singing When Father Papered the Parlour. Go for it.
Covered all over in paint.
And you've been listening to Roy Hudd, When Father Papered the Parlour. Now we're going to go back to our campaign, and it's to save the Brighton Hippodrome. So we're going back to Mika Scott, who's going to ask a few very important questions before we go. And then I want to thank a lot of people.
Thank you, Susie, and I thank you as well.
Thank you.
Michael's joined us again. Michael, we've talked a lot about the Hippodrome now. And looking to the future, if you won this battle to get the Hippodrome back as a theatre, how would you go about promoting it and selling it?
As I've already said, we listed a few of the shows that could come here, right. along with opera, ballet, international touring shows.
Yeah,
there's the possibility of boxing or wrestling or some of the other things.
Cutting to the quick, then, can you say definitively, yes or no, if it opened as a theatre and was run as a theatre, would it or would it not bring benefit to the local community, bring more money into local cafes and businesses and stuff like that?
Bring benefits to the community, certainly. If we're talking about up to 1,500 seats, which is what the architects are recommending at the moment, if it played to capacity, that would be lovely. But its catchment area is really from Hastings through to Chichester, and
talking about the centre of Brighton, you know, talking within walking distance, would they see an increase in customers and so forth and so on?
Oh, of course they would, because the cinemas would not bring in people from outside. It would be extra space for the people who come here anyway, but this would bring in a totally new population. At the moment, if you want to see these big shows, you've basically got to go to London.
Yes, exactly. Michael, thank you very, very much indeed. So there you are. This has been, for want of a better name, the Hippodrome Show, and I hope that you feel that you've learnt enough about the Hippodrome from what little we've been able to put before you, and that you will support us. And I'm going to hand over to Susie to close the show. Thank you very much, Susie.
Thank you, Mika. I want to say a special mention to VegFest for sponsoring us for this very show, because we know that entertainment is healthy, but we also know that eating healthy is absolutely a must. And so VegFest give us all that advice in their exhibitions and their live shows and their events. They've got lots and lots of things for everybody. It will please everybody. So do go along on March 29th and 30th, and do go along to visit VegFest from 11 till 6 o'clock, both days at the Hove Centre. And admission is very cheap. It's only £2, which is not bad. And kids under 16 are free. So I want to say thank you very much, VegFest, because I know that if we eat healthy, we're going to be healthy in lots and lots of different ways. And we need to do that in Brighton and Hove. So, and also, Reverbathon. We are actually fundraising for a local community station. So please do give to Radio Reverb on www.radioreverb.co.uk. Press that donate button. Give what you can. We love you. Thank you.